As we continue to study through the book of Revelation, I would ask you to turn there once again with me to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18, will you please follow along as I read out loud to you? Beginning in verse 1, the Apostle John writes, "After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. And the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. And the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore, merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for is gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What is like this great city? And they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in one hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you any more. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more. And the voice of a bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on the earth." This is a dreadful accounting of the judgment of God that's coming upon the world for her idolatry, her apostasy, her unbelief. Because we as Christians walk by faith and not by sight, our pilgrimage through this world can seem long and arduous, difficult and burdensome. Because the truth of the matter is that we so often see evil triumphing over good, that we must always constantly be renewing faith in our hearts, our faith in the God of the Scriptures, our faith in the Scriptures as the Word of God. We must continually remind ourselves that evil will finally and ultimately be triumphed over, and is even now being triumphed over, and has been. even since the fall. But especially so since the advent of Christ into this world. We must remind ourselves that this world is working out the purpose of God, even though our finite eyes fail many times at being able to perceive it. We can only have a sense of that through the eyes of our heart, our faith. And as we read this passage, and as we have read the previous passage, and as we will read subsequent passages as we continue our study through the book of Revelation, we must remind ourselves that truly the downfall and destruction of this mystical Babylon, the great harlot of the world, has already been determined by the great counsel of God and is being worked out bit by bit in time and in history. When this world was corrupted by sin at the fall, when sin entered this world, the next millennium of human history shows the impact of that corruption as all of mankind succumbed to it and was turned to idolatry, as we read in the book of Revelation. And by the time we get to Revelation chapter 6, we see that this corruption is total and complete over all of the earth. So that we read that every thought and inclination of man's heart was only evil continually. And God repented of having made man and determined in his heart that he would destroy man along with everything that had the breath of life in its nostrils, saving only Noah and his small family. This corrupt ancient world was nothing more than Babylon in her infancy. Babylon the Great is the pseudonym for the corrupt world that the scriptures use to portray wickedness and depravity of all sorts. Because Babylon, from ancient times, was widely known as that place where their citizens openly and actively engaged in all manner of wickedness and excess and debauchery. And so it was, because of the corruption of the ancient world, that God destroyed it with a flood, saving only Noah and his immediate family, who together with him had embraced true religion. That serves as our frame of reference for this passage in front of us this morning. As God destroyed the ancient city of Babylon, which was Babylon the Great in her infancy, Babylon with a small b at that time rather than a capital B, Babylon, if you will, before she was all growed up, like they say in LaGrange. But that Babylon that we see in her infancy, back in that early stage of Genesis, became fully grown. And in her fully formed womanliness, her enticements as an adulteress were complete. So that she corrupted everyone coming into this world. And John writes, "After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory." This is one who comes with all the authority of heaven and proclaims the destruction of the kingdoms of darkness and preaches righteousness to the people of God. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He warned his fellow citizens of the destruction that was coming, but men wouldn't listen to him and probably scorned and laughed at him and treated him with contempt because he was putting his faith in an ark. This angel comes with authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird. And so too are all the preachers that God sends into this world, warning this world of the sin that has taken it over and occupies it in its every corner. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen. I'm no widow. I will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And when we give this message to the unbelievers in the midst of our immediate world, so often they laugh at us and they scorn us. Why? Because they don't see it happening. They say, what, are you a moron? People are growing wealthier and wealthier, fatter and fatter. Where's this judgment of God you warn us of? I can go and commit fornication with impunity. What are you talking about? I can satisfy every lust of my flesh. Where's the judgment of God? And we point to the Scriptures. And we warn them that the judgment of God hangs over their heads. And no one will escape it. Lest you put your faith in Christ. And you hide yourself under the blood of Christ. Which alone is able to shelter us from the stormy blast of God's coming judgment. This passage, these first few verses that refer to the angel coming down from heaven with great authority and illumination, likely refers to the growing proliferation of gospel preachers, the spread of the gospel over the face of the earth. These ministers and all those who embrace the message of salvation through Christ alone are to recognize that we must be very careful not to take for granted the patience of God. But we are to come out of this world and to be separate from it. Separate! And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and receive of her plagues. Separate in terms of our attitudes and our actions. Separate in terms of our beliefs and the decisions that we make as a consequence of those beliefs. Separate so that there is a clear mark of distinction between ourselves and our unbelieving neighbors. We need to learn from this that the wickedness of Babylon is very great, and that by her merchandise she has drawn all sorts of people into idolatry and adultery. By her wealth and luxury, once she gets a hold of them, she easily keeps them there through the drunkenness of the wine of her fornication, because that comes to be where their interests lie. They are enticed by it. Like the person that in our era we call the alcoholic, even though they know that this drink, this strong drink, is ruining their lives, they are unable to deny themselves of it. And that is the picture of what John is getting at here. That this Babylon, this great harlot, the system of this world, comes with such an enticing cocktail that the inhabitants of this earth, having tasted of it, are unable to stop drinking it. And so he says, "My people, come out of her, lest you share in her sins and the plagues which are coming on her sins." We need to learn to come far out of her. And that we would not only come out of her, but that with our lives we would also assist in her destruction by making every effort to see her city emptied of its citizens and her wealth revealed for what it is, actually poverty. Being bold enough to say the emperor has no clothes. That we would convince people that by the riches of this world that they are amassing, all they are truly doing is heaping up for themselves judgment in the day of wrath. That's all their riches are going to do for them. There is no winning this game of life. You remember that game. It was called life. And it was played to win. And people who are born into this world are born under nature's knife with this insane idea that you can win this game. There is no winning it, dear ones. Everyone born into this world, born under nature's knife, is a loser. We once lived in an area where there was a very active YMCA. They had a program there. It was called Y Winners for the young people. And the idea being that every young person that took part in this program was a winner. There were no losers. In the sporting events, in the program that they had there, you weren't supposed to keep score or declare a winner, because every child is a winner. We have to build their self-esteem. They should have called this program Why Losers? Because everyone's a loser and you die in the end. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants, the inhabitants of the earth, have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. The image here is a kind of proud voluptuousness, where Babylon the Great, this great harlot, instead of using her beauty for the pleasure of her own spouse, she flaunts it in such a way as to make an idol of herself, teaching people a kind of lack of contentment. And we remember that the Apostle Paul tells us that godliness with contentment is the means of great gain. But here the picture is of one of gluttony and wantonness, where restraint over one's appetites is foreign. This is the cup of the wine of this harlot's fornication, to teach people to ignore Christ and to serve their wantonness. And this is exactly opposite of what we are instructed to do, to honor Christ in the Scriptures. In the Scriptures, we are taught that Christ desires and requires from us that we would recognize His rightful headship over us, and consequently that we would temper our appetites in order to reflect an attitude of respect and submission. That our appetites are to be satisfied within certain boundaries, not like the harlot who denies that she owes obedience to one person. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works. And the cup which she has mixed double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins. This is a necessary part of a true conversion. You must leave off your sinning and your love of sinning. It must be replaced by a love of God and a love of obedience to Him. We are no longer to have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, having no fellowship with that, so that we do not receive of her plagues. Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. In other words, tell people of the judgments of God that are coming upon them for their sin of indulgence and unbelief. We should never make light of that which brings down the wrath of God. Acting as if the sin of wicked sinners is not wicked. Sinners are like men who walk in the darkness, not knowing where they go, not knowing what they do. And you, dear ones, are the light of this world. You have to speak of this light. Otherwise, how will they come out of the darkness? The kings of the earth, beginning in verse 9 of 18, who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore, merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and incense, and fragrant oil, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, fine flour, and wheat, cattle, and sheep, horses, and chariots, and bodies, and souls of men. Did he leave anything out here? No. What he is trying to do is capture the totality of the things that this great harlot, Babylon the Great, uses to entice men. This is the cup of the wine of her fornication. And she presses it into the hand of everyone born into this world. As soon as you are born, this cup of the wine of her fornication is pressed into your hand. And she entices you to drink it. And so everyone is intoxicated by a love for her voluptuous enchantment. The kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, are made drunk by her wine, seduced by her from the one true God, from their true love, and have been led into idolatry, which is spiritual adultery. Babylon flatters her subjects into idolatry with the lie that starts out, you deserve. You deserve to satisfy, to be satisfied. It implies that you are so wonderful that you should not have to deny yourself satisfaction for all or any of your various appetites, but that you should be allowed to fulfill them all. This is her lie. You deserve. There is no reason to deny yourself. To deny yourself is of itself a wicked and evil thing. But then, the great object of the lust of these kings and these merchants, these inhabitants of the earth, is taken away. John describes it in this vision as being removed from them. And what do? They don't know what to do. The picture is of one who is throwing up their hands. Oh my, oh my. Look what's happening. Oh my, oh my. This is dreadful. We don't know what to do. Babylon the Great has fallen. Has fallen is Babylon the Great. Running around like chickens with its head cut off. But notice, dear ones, one thing they don't do. They don't worship God on the day that He visits them with judgment. Instead, they weep and mourn over her, but they weep and mourn as those who have no hope. I think one of the most incredible pictures of this is what took place on that Black Tuesday that followed the Black Monday of the crash in Wall Street, the stock market in 1929. When the stockbrokers were jumping out of the windows in despair. They couldn't believe this. A 10-year period of unprecedented growth where people were growing fat and wealthy by their speculation and their investments came to a sudden end. And in their despair, these people jumped out of windows. But John writes in verse 20, "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." As the people of God, we are taught to leave vengeance in the hand of God. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." He will vindicate us for all and any trouble. We wait for God to vindicate us, to all those who insult us and hurt us and scandalize us. We leave it in God's hands to order and to provide. But we rest assured that one day God will vindicate us. That one day He will bring judgment on all of our enemies. Just as God has an appetite for justice, so too do we. But for now, we must wait. But John tells us in this vision, it's coming. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Because in that great and dreadful day of God's judgment, it says a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and found no more. There will not be the sound of harpists or musicians, flutists or trumpeters. No craftsman of any craft will be found in her any longer. There will not be the sound of a millstone. The light of a lamp shall not shine anymore. The voice of a bridegroom and a bride shall not be heard anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. By your sorcery all the nations were deceived." For this reason, God is bringing wrath. He is bringing judgment. And in verse 24, John closes this passage by saying, "In her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all who are slain on the earth. Her overthrow and destruction will be swift and irrecoverable. Those who die in their sin will never be recovered. The precious blood of the prophets and saints that she shed will be revealed, and she will suffer the certain destruction of God for it. Death will soon end the commerce, which John describes as involving the souls of men. The riches and worldly attainments of the ungodly will be exchanged, as Matthew Henry describes it, not only for the coffin and the worm, but for the fire that cannot be quenched. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 17, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." Come out from among her and be separate, lest you share in the plagues that are coming for her sin. Dear ones, we all once stood in the midst of the seduction of Babylon, the great harlot, and drank of her cup of harlotries. But God has rescued us. He has set us free. And now He tells us that we ought to hate even the clothing that's stained by sinful flesh. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will obey my commandments." Dear people, here is the exhortation that John gives us, that Paul gives us, that Jesus gives us, that we would turn our back on our sin and the enchantments, the enticements, the cup of the wine of the fornication of Babylon, the great harlot, that we would come out and be separate. Will you resolve in your heart that you would live your life in such a way as that there would be a clear distinction and differentiation between you and your unbelieving neighbors? Will you bow your heads with me? Father, knowing your incredible hatred of sin, I pray, Father, that you would stir up in us a similar hatred and revulsion of sin, that the wine which sparkles in the cup of the great harlot would not entice us and enchant us to go back and drink it again. But remembering how we were once so intoxicated by it that we were ignorant and careless of you, that we would stay far away from it, that we would love Christ, that we would cling to Him. And Father, knowing that we are weak people, we pray that you would strengthen us, that you would keep us from going back to Babylon. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.